I spent a long time trying to forget the first 8 years of my life. For some, it might be easy to shake loose their earliest memories, but not for me. No matter how hard I tried, there was always some reminder of childhood. Today, it was seeing my mama's blue eyes on a baby I was holding for the first time. Over the years, there have been other things that took me back. The smells of loam and moss and ferny ground. The taste of ice-cold water. It's been a while, though, since I saw the mountain outside of memory. In 1990, when I was 14, I went up Bloodroot Mountain again after 6 years gone. It was a long walk, with Marshall Lunsford behind me, and neither one of us saying a word. The mountain looked different than when I was small. A sawmill had carved a bald place in the land, and the road was paved where it used to be dirt. But I knew we were getting close when we passed Mr. Barnett's. His house was nearly buried behind a briar thicket, just a rusty roof with a stub of chimney poking out of the tangled green. The flag was up on his mailbox, and the same dented truck parked in the weeds, glinting in what was left of the sun. He was probably too old to drive it anymore. I wondered if he would come out, and if he would still know me, but his place was quiet and still. We kept climbing, and it was almost dark by the time we made it to the witch's house. That's what Marshall called it. "There's a witch's house up yonder," he said. He caught up and stood panting in the road, head down, and eyes shifting toward every sound. But looking up at the house, I forgot about Marshall and only remembered. Behind the posts of a ruined fence, the creek branch rushed downhill over chunks of rock, between thorny vines and flowering bushes. The trees were parted just enough for me to see it up there, like a toy I could hold in both hands, a dirty white box with black window holes and the roof a flake of blood. It did look like a witch's house, a haunted place, the hill leading up to it bumpy with stumps and boulders. I could see a cross of fallen trees in the yard, and a weathered barn where nothing lived but the smell of hay and animals. Something splashed in the creek and Marshall jumped. "We'd better get on before it's too dark to see the road," he said. "You can go by yourself if you want to." Marshall grew quiet, shuffled his feet. "They say she killed a man. Is that so?" Back then, I could have told him I'd guarantee she'd killed a man. I could have told him the witch was my mama, too, but I kept my mouth shut. I looked at the house and wanted to burn it to the ground, or run up there and find her axe still lodged in a stump and chop the whole place to pieces, barn and all. But first, I would tear through the rooms to see what was left, scour the lot for any trace of her and Laura and me, a stray bobby pin or a lost shirt button or a length of fishing line, anything to prove we lived for a time between those trees, with that mountain under our feet and that creek water rushing over us. Then I would burn the whole place down and dance in the light of the flames.
"For real, Johnny, let's go,"
Marshall whined, and it was like a spell was broken. I didn't need to look anymore. I'd seen it one more time. I turned to go with Marshall, but he was frozen in the middle of the road, staring into the woods across from the house with his mouth hanging open. Between the crowded trunks, there was a greenish glow, a faint ghost light hovering close to the ground.
"It's her spirit," Marshall whispered.
Then he took off running down the mountain, shoes slapping hard on the pavement. I knew it was Foxfire, but I stood there for a long time anyway, looking into the trees.